The name Twiggy probably conjures up the image of a model with a tall, ultra-skinny, boyish body and very short blonde hair. In the late 60s, Twiggy was the world's most photographed teen model. A lot has changed since then. Her hair is long now, she's put on a few pounds, and she's given up modeling for an acting career on stage, screen, and British television. She received a Tony nomination for her role opposite Tommy Toon in the 1983 Broadway musical My One and Only. Twiggy co-stars in the new film Madame Suzatska, directed by John Schlesinger. She plays an aspiring pop singer who lives in the apartment above Madame Suzatska, an eccentric London piano teacher played by Shirley MacLaine. In this scene, Suzatska's latest pupil, a 15-year-old prodigy of Indian heritage, visits Twiggy.
What's this one? Oh, that was a big launch of a new health drink. I'm the carrot. See that banana? I went to Australia with him. That's Tony.
Is this from a film?
Country Maiden Slimming Crackers, darling.
You look great. So are you a model?
Not really, I'm a singer. I write my own songs. Look.
Twiggy told me how she got the role of Jenny.
I got a call from the producer, actually, Robin Dalton, who's Lady. This is her second film, feature film, saying that she'd woken up in the middle of the night and had a flash that it should be me playing Jenny. She dreamt, and it kind of came on in neon lights, hysterical. And I was absolutely over the moon because I'm a huge John Schlesinger fan. And when I knew it was him, I thought, oh, great, you know. I mean, unless it's something I hate, I'm going to do it. And I hadn't seen the script or anything. The script arrived, you know, and one opens it, heart in one's mouth, praying that it's something you think you can do or that you'll want to do. And I love Jenny. We had a slight problem because the way the script was written, there was quite a lot of nudity, and I don't like doing that. My heart sunk, and I thought, oh, no, you know, I get offered a film by John, and then I read it, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. So I went and had tea with him, and I explained, and he's a lovely man. And
what did you tell him about why you didn't want to do nude scenes?
Well, just my reasons, which are very personal, you know, that I just cannot do it, and I don't want to do it. I haven't done it yet, and I'm not about to start now at my age.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood and said, oh, don't be silly, you know, you'd look lovely. And I said, but that, you know, that's nothing to do with it. Anyway, we talked and talked. So I said to him, I really think, you know, as much as it breaks my heart, you know, you're going to have to go for somebody else. And he said, well, let's talk about it. And he said, it was written that way, but there's no real need for it. So we did it without. And I think it works fine.
Your character of Jenny wants to be a pop singer. Her big break was when she had one record for 1 week that made it to number 96.
That's right.
On the pop charts. Now, you've had some pop records yourself, right?
Yeah, I have. How did they do? Well, the first single and album did surprisingly well, actually. I was quite surprised. I think they were quite good, but, you know, when you come from another field, especially when you're a model, it's very difficult to break into other fields, as you know.
Do you think Americans still think of you as the skinny model?
Probably. I mean, I think even till I'm 85, when you say Twiggy, probably people have that image of the skinny legs, the short blonde hair and the long eyelashes. And I can't do anything about that except, you know, go on doing the things I want to do and try to do well. But it was such a huge statement in the 60s. It's very hard to kind of kill that. And I'm not ashamed of it. It's just, you know, it's 20 years ago. It's a long time.
I have to tell you, I still remember the very first time I saw your photograph in a magazine. And you were very thin. You had very, very short blonde hair.
That's right.
Long eyelashes with long eyelashes on bottom as well
That's
as
right.
on top. And they were mascaraed. And the effect it had on me, I mean, I there's no way I was going to be tall and skinny. But for a few weeks, I started putting mascara on my lower eyelashes. tell me the story of how you got that look and
oh,
and
gosh.
The name.
I mean, it's really that's a long time. I don't really want to go into it in detail, all that. I mean, I've told that story so many times. I mean, and it's so long ago. And in England, the last 2 years, they've had a big 60s revival. And I mean, I was asked to do so many programs and I chose not to do them. Not because I'm ashamed of it. I loved it when I did it. But, it was 20 years ago. It's a long time.
Let me just ask you one question, though, about that. you know how really skinny fashion models have become the style in the past decade or so. A lot of people trace that back to you and to the image that you cut when you first started modeling. And some people have even said that anorexia can almost be traced back to you because you were so skinny.
But I was born like that. What people don't understand is that what happened to me was as much a shock to me as to everybody else. I didn't plan to do that.
To be skinny, you mean?
Well, to be skinny. I didn't plan to model. I was at school. You know, that all happened to me. It was a pure chance happening that fate happened at that time. You know, with the 60s thing going on in London with the fashion revolution and the Beatles and the working class thing. And suddenly, you know, with people like Mary Quant and Barbara Hulanicki designing miniskirts, all the models were too old. They needed younger girls. And I happened to be the one that was found and photographed and picked. I had nothing to do with it. I mean, I was, as I say, as shocked as anybody else when it all started to happen.
Did you feel freakish before you were considered fashionable?
Oh, sure. I hated what I looked like. Absolutely hated it. I would have given anything for, you know, a fairy godmother to wave a magic wand and make me look like Brenda Lee, you know.
You know, I think about how easy it would have been for you to be washed up after you gave up modeling at the age of 19.
Yeah.
Because it's not that easy to cross over from one field to another.
Especially from modeling, because there is that stigma.
Mm-hmm, that you're supposed to be stupid.
All models are dumb and thick and, you know. But you see, I didn't, again, it wasn't a conscious decision. I didn't think, oh, I'm going to stop modeling now and I'm going to go into films. You know, that's not what happened. I met a man called Ken Russell, who gave me the chance to do a film with him called The Boyfriend. And I said, but Ken, you know, I can't sing or dance. You know, it was a musical. It was quite funny, really. And he said, well, you go off to class. And so I went off to class and I did singing lessons and dancing lessons for 9 months. And then we made the film. And after that, I didn't really want to go back to modelling because it was like a whole new world opening before me.
Since you didn't have any acting or dancing experience when he cast you for The Boyfriend, do you know what it is he saw in you, what potential he saw in you?
I mean, that's the thing you'd have to ask him. Mm-hmm. But he obviously saw something and had a vision. And I think, you know, when people say, well, what do you think were your luck, the things that happened to you that were lucky or the I think, it, you know, it's obviously meeting Ken Russell was obviously a huge moment in my life because he had the courage to go out on a limb on somebody that everyone says it's not going to work, you can't do that. You know, they usually back down in the end and come back and say, well, I'm sorry, I tried, but we can't get the money raised, I'm going to do it with somebody else. But Ken, God bless his heart, you know, he really stuck out. He would not have made that film without me.
In spite of the fact that you're not interested in talking about your early days modeling, you've kept the name of Twiggy, which is a name that really makes that association to those early days. So I'm really curious about why you haven't gone back to
it. It drives me crazy because I'd love to go back to it. But, I mean, you try and find a producer who will let you drop the name that you're famous for. You know, they say you're crazy, you know. Nobody, if we put Leslie Hornby up on a billboard, nobody will know who it is. But how do you stop using it and start using in the name that nobody's ever heard? You know, it's almost impossible. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you've got an idea.
how about Leslie Twiggy Hornby? And then after a few years of that, you drop the Twiggy.
We've thought of that, but that sounds just as weird, doesn't it? I don't know. I mean, I got married last week. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And so I've now got a new surname. And we did think of maybe my new surname is Lawson. And we thought of maybe doing Twiggy Lawson. But I don't know. We're still mulling it over. It is a problem, but on the other hand, it's not something that keeps me awake at night, you know.
Madame Suzotska is about to open. Do you know what your next movie role is going to be?
I've just finished a thing in England that will air on PBS here. We've done a 3-hour drama on the young life of Charlie Chaplin, which centres around his age from 10 to 16, and I play his mum.
Well, that's interesting.
And it was wonderful. I really enjoyed doing that. And that was a nice role because they had a very, very tough life, very poor, and it was not a glamorous role at all. I looked dreadful through most of it because the mother really suffered. I mean, she ended up in the workhouse and then in an asylum. It was rather nice to do something where I didn't look glamorous and looked absolutely awful.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Twiggy co-stars in the new film Madame Suzotska. This is Fresh Air.